Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. I'm a Catholic priest, and I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to share with you about families, and I call this Families Matter. They matter to the church, and I know that they matter to you. Let me share with you from Colossians chapter 3. This is Paul writing the church at Colossae. And he said, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another, and if anybody has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." I received many Christmas cards over the Christmas season, and most of them were pretty glitzy and glamorous, and they had all kinds of flashy things on them. Some were kind of gaudy. But one in particular stood out to me. It was a Christmas card that I received from a woman friend of mine who had her 9 grandchildren all lined up in a row. Most of them were little girls with blonde hair. And it was so cute, and it really struck me how Christmas in particular is a time that we celebrate families. Families get together. And how important families are. I remember reading AAA about the statistics about families that are traveling to go across country or even to the next state. It seems like everybody's getting on the road and on airplanes to go see each other. It's because families want to be together. And they said that some 115.6 million people traveled at Christmas 2019, more than ever before. They traveled by air, car, train, and they went large distances because they wanted to get together. Families were made to get together. And so it could be children going to see their parents or visiting in-laws or siblings visiting each other. Whatever it is, people are traveling because they want to be with their families. I have a friend of mine, and I talked to her about her family. She's a mother. She has many children and grandchildren. And this is what she said about family. She said, "Families are a big deal." And I agree. We all come from a family. She said, "There's no one else like your own family. Brings a lot of joy." And she said, "Always stick together." Remember what Mother Teresa said about families. The family that prays together stays together. I remember meeting Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda was the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers years ago. And I went into the dugout one time and I met him. He's a Catholic man. Because I'm a Catholic priest, I was able to go down and meet with him. And he used to go around the nation giving talks. And the talks that he gave was about, number one, God first, number two, family second, and number three, your friends, and then number four, your career. And I thought that was beautiful to put it in that order: God, family, then friends and career. Because families are so vitally important. I have friends that come from a large family, and they have 4 children, and one of their sons, their youngest son, actually got a job in Copenhagen, Denmark. They live out in Seattle, Washington, and once a year, they fly all the way to Copenhagen, the parents do, to go see their son, and their son also comes once a year to go see them. They have a daughter that lives in New York. They go several times a year, just going back and forth, crisscrossing the country to go see each other. I remember when I was stationed in Sacramento, California, my parents lived in Florida, and it used to grieve me to be so far, 3,000 miles away from them. And I would make that trip 4 times a year to go out to see my parents down in Florida because I missed them so much and I wanted to be with them. And when I was with them, it was just like no time had passed. So families are vitally important, and we all come from families, of course. It's a big deal. I have 2 older sisters, and one lives in Florida, the other lives in Maryland. And they married into different denominations. We all grew up Catholic, but my middle sister became a Presbyterian, and she's really not even going to church anymore. My older sister, who lives in Florida, married into a denomination, if you can call them that, called Jehovah's Witnesses. I think you all know who they are. And she is very much into church. So, you know, I had two sisters that went two different directions. I became a Catholic priest and redeemed the family. But so in most families, not everybody agrees religiously. You get around the table during the holidays, and there can be some quite, some quite livid discussions about denominations and what's right and politics and different things like that. So that's why I read that reading from Colossians about put on Christ and be gentle and be humble and forgive each other, forbear with each other. Let me talk for a second about pride. Pride isn't having an opinion. For example, politically, you're sitting around the table. That's not pride if you have an opinion. But prideful people voice their opinions very loudly, and they don't really want to listen to the opinions of others, and they're very argumentative. And that can happen in families. You know, there's different degrees of pride and different degrees of humility. So be the bigger person. Forgive. Don't try to push. Try to be gentle. Try to be Christ-like. Hopefully that'll be a witness. So anyway, have two older sisters. And as I said, they taught me a lot about forgiveness, that life doesn't just revolve around me. Families are the places where we're socialized. Our parents help us to grow, and they teach us and they educate us, of course. And I remember my dad taught me a lot about work ethic. He was a carpenter and used to take me with him to work, and that was really important for me. And Dad taught me a lot about trust. I learned that I could trust my dad. He never betrayed my trust. And that trust that I learned about Dad, really, I've been able to apply toward God. I trust God. I trust the Lord Jesus. And so what I'm trying to say is that families are the places that we're socialized. It's the places that we learned how to relate. It's a place where we are stretched and where we grow. And I wanted to tell you that, unfortunately, for people my age, and I'm a late baby boomer, unfortunately, we're all having to deal with our parents about the same time, who are growing much older. I just went through a time with my mom. She lived to be 90 years old when she passed away. But let's just say it was a difficult time. And I hear this from many baby boomers, that they're trying to deal with their parents. Their parents are changing. And especially I'm talking about some dementia, some early Alzheimer's or full-blown Alzheimer's, and it can be extremely distressing. My mom spoiled me. I was her only boy. She loved me. I was the apple of her eye. There's no doubt in my mind, and I loved her. She was my mother. She treated me so well, and she was so very kind to me. But at the end of her life, she developed some form of dementia. And she wasn't the same woman that I knew growing up. She tried, and I know she did. She made great efforts at trying. But there were times where she was just harsh, and she didn't want to have hearing aids, and she couldn't hear, and I had to, like, yell, and it was hard for me. I started getting angry, and I started getting frustrated. And she still lived in Florida, and I lived in Houston, and there were times when I would go to visit her and I'd say to myself, why did I come to visit her? I just feel frustrated. I just want to go back home. And I remember I was having one of those pity parties visiting my mom. And again, this is the woman who raised me and that I loved growing up. And I remember I was having a pity party, and I was in my bedroom going, you know, I am so frustrated right now, and I'm feeling angry. I shouldn't have even come. And all of a sudden, I got this vision of myself as a little infant at my mother's breast and her rocking me to sleep and feeding me. And then I had another vision of me with a diaper, and I had just had a bowel movement, and my mother cleaning me. And I knew what that was. It was the Holy Spirit telling me, Cedric, when you were in your most desperate need, your mother took care of you. She fed you, she cleaned you, she loved you. You didn't even know how to talk, you didn't know how to walk, you were very dependent on her. Now, she has a need. And can't you just be a little loving? Can't you give her some unconditional care? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father. And it's a commandment with a promise that it may go well with you in the land. And I came to realize that, you know, once I had that vision, once I had that the Holy Spirit speaking to me in that those images, I came to realize that, you know what, sometimes mom may get a little harsh, sometimes she may get a little angry or mean, but you know what, it's okay. Just let it go. And so I would say the same thing to you, because I realize that some of you are dealing with your parents, and it's hard. They're not quite the same person that they were when you were growing up. And that's why I read to you that verse about Colossians, be gentle, be kind, be forbearing, be forgiving, honor your mother and father. That's what families are all about. So, whatever you're going through, I want you to know that families are important, certainly to God, but they're also important in the church. And then other things I hear from people in their families, this whole thing about a dysfunctional family. You know, families can be intimate, of course. You know, they have great relationships and you eat together in intimacy. And by the way, this is just popping into my mind. Oftentimes what happens in families nowadays with the iPhones is this whole thing where you go to dinner and people are surfing the net and talking on their iPhones. We live in a religious community right now, and the four of us priests got together recently and we had a community meeting. And I said, can I just say something about the iPhones? When we get together at dinner, would you please make sure that your iPhone is either off or you don't bring it to dinner? Because I think that's extremely rude when people are surfing the net or talking on the phone when we're together at dinner. Dinner is one of the main times that we can grow in intimacy and get to know each other and develop our friendship. So please, don't even bring your phone, and that's probably a good thing. Don't even bring your phone into church, because oftentimes when I'm preaching, I was preaching one time, and a woman, she gets this call, she's sitting on about the third pew, and you would think she would have hung up right away, but she kept talking on the phone while I was preaching. Talk about a distraction, it was very hard. So what I'm saying is that families are important, but you have to build relationships and build intimacy. So I've heard about dysfunction in families, and dysfunction means that there are relationship problems and contention and communication problems. This happens in marriage all the time. I get this from people in their emails and counseling. People come to me, Father Cedric, I'm struggling in my marriage, what can I do? And you know, I sit with them and I listen to their stories, and that's really important. Go to counseling, talk it out. If you can do it both together, all the better. So when you're in a family, in a marriage that's struggling, try to save the marriage the best that you can. Talk it out, communicate. Just don't let everything be under the carpet. You got to get it out into the fore. You got to discuss the issues. You can't just avoid the elephant in the room, if you will. So yeah, people are struggling in marriages, and divorce is happening, and separations are occurring. I remember one woman came up to me one time and she said, Father Cedric, she said, God doesn't answer my prayer. And I said, what do you mean God doesn't answer your prayer? And she said, well, my husband's an alcoholic and I've been praying for him for many years now and he has not changed. So God doesn't answer my prayer. And what I said was the wisdom of the 12-step program. If you know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous and these anonymous programs, there's something called Al-Anon. Al-Anon is for spouses and family members of alcoholics, because the disease of alcoholism affects the whole family unit. Even though you're not a drinker, their drinking affects you, and it brings insanity and craziness. So what I told her was that prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr, God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So in other words, in Al-Anon, the Al-Anon wisdom is that maybe you can't change the other person, but hopefully you can change in the midst of the craziness, and that you can have serenity through God's help as you meet in a group, as you talk to a counselor, as you pray. God maybe won't be changing the other person, but God will be working in you to change. And then as you change, hopefully the dynamic between you and your husband or wife will change, and hopefully things will get better. So there is dysfunction. There are communication problems. There is contention and difficulties in families. I get that. As I said, I have a sister who's a Jehovah's Witness, and let's just say we do not discuss religion a whole lot, because once we do, one of the two of us, and it's not me, starts to get very vehement about their faith. I try to listen, and she probably thinks the same thing about me. So what I'm saying is there is contention, and I understand them politically. You know, people are all over the place politically. You try to talk politics in communities and in families, and contention occurs. You don't have to go far. Right now, we have a nation that is divided. I've never seen people so angry as they are about politics. If I were to share with you my politics, half of you would clap, the other half of you would turn off the TV program, because we are living in a nation that is divided right now, and people are angry. That's why I read to you that beautiful verse from Colossians. Put on gentleness, compassion, understanding. You don't always have to be right. That's what pride is. Being controlling, trying to be opinionated all the time, being almost violent in your opinions. So there is abuse in families. There are hardships. There is dysfunction. There is a lot of miscommunication. But there's also love. Jesus, of course, came from a family. We celebrate in the Catholic Church a feast called the Holy Family. And the Holy Family is the feast of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Jesus was brought up in a family. This is the incarnation. God became one of us, lived in a family. Jesus grew in his family. Although he was morally perfect, he learned obedience and wisdom. Joseph had a major influence on him. My dad was a carpenter, and as I said, his work ethic really was something through osmosis that came into me. I watched him, his discipline, how he enjoyed his work, how he was fruitful as a carpenter. Same thing with Jesus. I'm sure he developed a work ethic from Joseph. Joseph taught him much wisdom, probably taught him how to deal with people, both the good and the bad. And Jesus developed wisdom and obedience and gentleness, probably from Mary, watching his mother. Mary, of course, a tremendous woman of God. So families are the place that we develop and we learn virtue and we are educated and we grow in relationships with each other. The church, the Catholic Church in particular, but all churches, are dedicated to families. I've been to churches where they have nurseries where every 6 months, depending on your age, they have a nursery for 0 to 6 months, 6 months to a year, 1 to 2 years. So there's all these different nurseries because we want you to come to church and we want to take care of your children. The Catholic Church in particular has schools, grade schools, high schools, colleges. People of all denominations put their children into our Catholic schools. And they are educated not only with reading, writing, and arithmetic, but religion. We teach them about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. You've all heard about Holy Cross, Loyola, Notre Dame. Those are just some of a multitude of colleges all around this country and all around the world. So we try to educate your children. The church, with wide open arms, welcomes families. In early Christianity, I think you know that the first churches, they weren't in buildings like we have today. They were domestic churches. People met in families, and the head of the household was really the priest, and he was leading the prayers, and people started gathering in houses, domestic churches, and finally there would be gathering places, kind of like the Jewish synagogues, that were called eventually churches, ecclesia, assemblies, places were called out of darkness as an assembly of God. So my parents weren't the type that would hang crucifixes on walls, and we didn't really pray together per se. They weren't outwardly religious showing people, but I'll tell you this, they did give me the foundation. They took myself and my sisters to church. We were baptized, we were confirmed, we went to the Catholic Church growing up. And so I had a foundation. And that's so crucial, because I'm meeting a lot of young people, and I'm seeing it in our culture. Our young people aren't getting the foundation anymore. So therefore, how are they going to have the ability to choose correctly? At least if you have the foundation, you can make the choice between God and the culture. Because our culture is swallowing our young people up. As John Paul II said, it's a culture of death. We have abortions. You know, we are numb to all the shootings that are going on, and the violence, the anger, the division that we have in our culture. And it's a tragedy to see that going on, that our culture is so violent and our young people, unfortunately, are falling away. So perhaps you do have a child that's fallen away from the faith. And this is something I hear from parents all the time. They come to me and they said, my child has fallen away from the faith. And I get this on the prayer requests in my website. My child has fallen away from the faith. What do I do? And they blame themselves. They think it's their fault. And what I tell them is, if it was just you who had a child fall away from the faith, then you'd be right to blame yourself. But the bottom line is, about 98% of parents have children fall away from the faith. It's our culture with its idolatry and the way secularization has invaded our culture, and how the movies and the television shows and the music and the lyrics and everything else that's drawing many of our young people away. It's not you. So what do? Well, first of all, you pray behind the scenes. Remember Saint Monica, she's always an encouragement to mothers. Praying behind the scenes, and look what happened to her son, Augustine. He became a bishop and a great saint. Then don't be pushy, of course. You want to try to show them some joy. Be gentle with them. Drop little hints. Take some of my books, lay them on the table. I wrote a good book for young people called God's Not Boring. That can really help them. Just lay it around. Maybe they'll see it and read it. Hopefully they will. So the main thing is, I want you to know that the church has its arms wide open to the family. The church is pro-family, certainly pro-life, but pro-family also. And there was a synod a few years back, Pope Francis, bishops from around the world, they all got together, and it was based on the family. And it was instilled at this synod that the church wanted to be sure that church leaders, including priests, are reaching out to families and proclaiming the importance of families. In this program, I have simply tried to address some of the needs that families have, how families are a place of incubation, if you will, that we learn about relationships in the families, that families are very, very important. Because right now, the family, the traditional family, is under attack. As you know, there's all kinds of different versions of the family right now. Many people are cohabitating before marriage. Others have been divorced and civilly remarried. Can they go to communion? There's domestic violence. There are single-parent families now. There are gay marriages on the rise. And the synod that met about families, they tried to tone down the language and basically say everybody's important. We invite everybody with wide open arms to come to us, to talk it out. You belong. You're not excommunicated, no matter what's happened. Come to the church. We can work it out. And they stressed, and I agree with this, and that's why I'm preaching this program or teaching this program, families are vitally important. And we want your families to be the best families that they can be. So this woman friend of mine talked about families, and she said that families matter. They are vitally important. They're extremely important. Jesus was incubated in a family. I've come from a family, and so do you. And if you're struggling with any difficulties in the family, know that God is at work. It may be dysfunctional, but don't give up. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit, God can make it work out. Whether a child has left a faith, whether you're struggling with an alcoholic spouse, whether your sisters are different politics or different religions, whether you have an elderly parent that is suffering with dementia, God is there to help you. The church has its arms wide open, embracing you and saying, families matter. You can work it out. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.